Praise God that you're here. I know there's some people that are traveling, just keep them safe. Pat and Cheryl, if you've heard, I don't know, are over at Walcott at Brooks, her daughter's house, and her husband's in the hospital. And I guess Pat went over there to drop Cheryl off and then come back home, and he got there and he ended up staying. He didn't have any clothes and he wasn't prepared to stay. So, but he had to help take with the kids, and she had Rick's over at the hospital. More about that if they figured out what's going on with him and what's happening. So just keep him up in prayer. So praise the Lord. We're just going to continue on. We know that the weather is getting cooler. It's exciting to know that there's seasons. I heard somebody talking about it's so nice when you got seasons compared to just hot all the time in some of the southern places. I think it's hot all the time. Be better when you get older. That's not so bad. I'm so not so happy about the cold all the time. But anyway, it's one of those situations. It's Iowa. It's going to change. It's going to get a little bit cooler. Enjoy yourself and prepare for winter. And it's just one of those situations that's going on here. So we know that many times, or during this time period, and I don't know why my nose is itching, but it is. Sorry about that. Hate when that goes on. But the whole thing was the enemy is coming strong against more people. It seemed like some people used to get a little more victory than what they used to get. My opinion only. And through that, you kind of wonder what's happening. Well, time's short. Time's very short. An enemy wants to throw everything at you he can throw at you, including the kitchen sink, and see what can stick. Sometimes it sticks because there's an open door, and it sticks to you. So there's some things that you have to go. I was reading last night. I just felt real strong to get back in and read The Final Quest, and I was actually going for the call, ended up in The Final Quest. And I started reading, and man, I said, I don't remember this being in there, but it was talking about people that had been on this earth before and what they'd done and how they did things and how they got into pride and how things started saying, I think one of them that I was listening to or reading about, he said that they were in the same place as the five virgins, the foolish virgins. And he said it was only because, they're out doing and saving, getting people saved, and people were watching them. They had a lot of wisdom, a lot of knowledge, a lot of things going on. But there was so much pride and anger and frustration inside, and they got people coming to them instead of Jesus. And they made it, but they were down there in the far back side of heaven because of what happened, because they were with the people that were the five foolish virgins. You can go back and read it. It's really exciting when you get in there and start to see some of this stuff. I started reading about that, and I says how one person said that they ended up getting, when they got to heaven, they ended up finding out about forgiveness. They said they didn't really forgive much when they were on this earth. After they found out about forgiveness, they took and they started to forgive people and forgive themselves. And through that process, they got healed. They said they had love, peace, and joy. They were still far in the far back end of it instead of up front where they need to be. It was amazing that they were saying in worship can heal you. Worship can heal you. We're doing that on Friday. I'm starting on Friday. I'm going to do a 2 o'clock for those who can make it then. Or 6:30. It didn't work 6:30 this week. Apologize on that one. And all it is to come in and sit in the presence of God, and whatever he wants to say or do, he's ready to move in you. He's ready to give you words, visions, understandings, direction. That's what this is all about. It's not about teaching. It's not about singing a few songs. It's not about, whatever you think it might be about. It's all about sitting in his presence and basking however he wants. I mean, the reason I got the words today is because of I did that on 2 o'clock on Friday. Because I was getting kind of dry. I needed just as much as you guys do. Because I haven't been in the presence of the Lord much lately. Been beating me up and causing me great problems because of I'm allowing things to happen and can't do that. It also said in there, one person said that the more you know, the less you get by with. The more is required of you. How much is required of you compared to what it used to be 5 years ago, 6 years, 10 years ago? Because you know more, God expects more. And I've always said that. You know, I've seen this person over here. They're always complaining about stuff, and they never got hurt. It's just like they complained and went on down the road. It's called mercy. God gives you mercy in situations like that. So I said, well, they're complaining and didn't have any problems. I'm going to complain about the same thing. And I complained. Oh, brother, did I get hit hard. Why? What's the difference? I'm required to do different than they are. They can complain. I know better. Don't complain. But that's what happens. These are small things. I mean, I was amazed sitting there and reading some of this information. And I always said, I heard one person that talked about when they were in heaven, and I didn't remember where I even read it. I heard about it, read about it. It's in there. It's in that prophecy. That prophecy, it said that when we came here and I sit there and seen what I could have done on the earth and wasted my time, he said it was like hell on earth or hell in heaven. It was wrath that came down upon him. It was horrible. He says eventually the Lord, through the love and forgiveness and everything else, I've changed. But at that time it was, oh man, it was horrible. And that's what Pittman said. You know what the Lord said to Pittman? He says, if you came in here right now, you would have wrath. Not eternal wrath. Eternal wrath is hell. But he would have had wrath in heaven. I never thought there'd be wrath in heaven. But that's what this guy was saying. When you get there and you realize, how much could I have done and I didn't do it? How much could I have done and didn't do it? Why? Because you get our mind so rocked up, wrapped up on what you want and how you want it. And it's not working, so you just sit back and don't do nothing. I felt that way before. I'm not coming against you. I'm just encouraging you. Because the thing I'm going to tell you right now is this. In the end, there's blessings also in that, because he said the people, the warriors that are here on this earth today in the final battle are the ones that have some of the thrones that are closest to God. They've been reserved for us. The people that have already gone before us, the great witness, is looking at us to see what's going on. They said, you have the best time in your life being in the final battle. We set all this stuff up for you to get to that place. And I've seen this before. You know, I kept going down there and I put, you know, been in church, understood what's going on, and all through the years, and all the people will start up something, and they'll have all the elders and all those going on, and I'm thinking, they're really relying a lot on these elders. I said, where does elders? I went back and looked up an elder. An elder is somebody not old, bald head, and a big belly like I have, but it's one with a lot of wisdom. You can have a 20-year-old elder in that case, because they have a lot of godly wisdom, because through their life they've been trained up, had good parents. It's like the one guy that Sharon Bunnell's grandson. It was 4 or 5 years old. I forget exactly how old he was. He wasn't very old, and all of a sudden he came up, and Sharon was feeling pretty bad, and he just walked in and he says, "It's just the devil, Grandma." Because he'd been trained, that's what it was. And then you got the other ones that are kind of hellions, and this one lady was saying that she was at Sunday school class, and this one guy was horrible. You always heard of the old Johnny, little Johnny, you know, jokes and stuff. Well, this guy was a Johnny guy. He always causing problems, always upsetting the class and everything else. And she was sicker that day. She was just really feeling bad. And that day she was in her class because she had to take it. Nobody was taking over for her, and she was just there. And this little kid came up to her, and I don't remember his name, but he came up and says, "Do you mind if I pray?" And he says, "Oh, no, this is going to be a bad deal." You know, he's causing problems all the time, and he wants to pray for me now. I don't know what to do. So she says, "Okay, yeah, go ahead." And he says, "In the name of Jesus, heal her," and walked away, and she got healed just like that. Boom. You don't know what's going to happen. You think one way or the other, but the boy might be, you know, a strong, powerful Christian today, even though he's rotten during that class when he was younger and growing up. You don't know what's going on. There's somebody out there that you can touch. And we sang that song, "Who Can Stop the Lord?" Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop him? The devil? No. You. You can stop him. Why? I heard that and I'm thinking, wow, we're singing this song. Who can stop the Lord, God Almighty? You. Because you are the hands and the feet. He's relying upon you. And if you don't do it, he ain't going to get it done. Well, he's God. He can do everything. No. If you find out what Jesus said and you realize what he said on the cross, he said, "It is finished." It is finished. It is done. It's complete. I turn full authority over to my children. All power and authority is in them. Sad to say, the church hasn't taught that very much. But that's what's happened. That's why the Lord has been talking to me about teaching on the foundation. If you don't have a good foundation, you're not going to be able to build a home, your home, and it won't stand on. I had one person one time tell me, "You need to preach on that." There was a certain scriptures that people were quoting. And I said, I've seen the scriptures, and I know the scriptures, and I know they're true. But I sensed what was being quoted by the person wasn't going to happen simply because there was no foundation behind it. It was just a scripture. And I was told, "You got to preach on that. You got to preach about that. You got to take care of this over. You got to get some revelation knowledge out there." And I'm thinking, I don't want to. I don't have anything. I'm not going to say anything if I don't know what to say. I agreed with him that something needed to be said and something needed to be done. Brought some revelation knowledge to the whole process. But I said, I don't know. I don't have anything in my spirit. I'm not going to teach on it if I don't know what God wants to say about it. I don't have any opinions. Everything I say is not my opinion, it's God's opinion, because I seek the Father. That's it. People might not agree with me. I don't know. They don't agree with God either. And if you don't agree with me and you don't agree with God, then please tell me about it. We'll both go to God and find out who's right. If I'm wrong, I'll admit it. I'll get rid of it. I'll change it. You don't have very many open doors in a church that you can do that. There are very few people that allow that to happen. No, we don't. You got to follow what I tell you. I'm not prideful. I'm not going to get to heaven and find out my pride has caused me to have more problems than anything else, because that's one of the first things that happens. You got a lot of pride. You got a lot of problems when you get to heaven. You'll be at the far back end of all these thrones back there with the five foolish virgins. I tell you, it's sad, but it happens. It's because nobody's ever told. That's why I'm putting this foundation down. But when I heard those words and what was going on, all of a sudden the person said, "You got to teach about it." I said, "No, I'm not going to." And all of a sudden the Lord says, This is how you teach about it. I said, okay. So I start getting revelation from the Father on what he wanted to put out about that understanding. Some of you might remember, it's been a while back. I went back and I did the best I could to draw a block. A block. And in that block, what happens is every block in your foundation, you could start out with a scripture. And I had the different scriptures that were there. And then all of a sudden I said, in the middle of the block, if you don't have some support to hold that scripture up, whenever you put something on top of it, it goes, falls down. The average person doesn't have much backup or structure in what they're quoting. They just quote a word. The word says this, so this is what's going to happen. Yeah, right. And you start standing on that and it doesn't happen, and all of a sudden it's because you don't understand the full, or you haven't developed that block in such a way that it holds up what you've got to stand on. And you don't get what you want, and then you get mad and upset at God because he's not doing what he's supposed to do. That's just a basic fact. So I went through that. If I need to do it again, I can do that. But I'm working on blocks right now. I'm working on blocks right now. Because see, if our foundations are not solid and we're not building on the right foundation, we'll have a problem. So what happens is, building on solid foundation, you have to go to your Bibles, because we don't have it up here, and I'm in the New Living Testament, but it's Matthew 7:24-29. Matthew 7:24-29. Matthew 7:24-29. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it wise, like a person who built a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrent and the wind, the flood waters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and ignores it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rain and the floods come and the wind beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. Then Jesus has, and this is 28, then Jesus has finished saying these things. The crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike your teaching or their teachings of religious law. See, I started to talk to begin with about the foundation that you got to build. The first one was the cornerstone, which was Jesus. What do the builders reject? The cornerstone. They rejected Jesus. So the first thing is, whatever they built isn't there. It isn't good. It's wrong. There's many religions out there that are that way. They reject Jesus. So if you reject Jesus, your foundation will never stand. And when the storms come against it, it will fall. It will go crazy. It will drop down. It's something else. The next block is the blood of Jesus. And the next block after that was a punishment paid by Jesus. Again, I've had some pretty good discussions on people did not believe that Jesus went to hell and paid our price. There is a scripture in there that talked about he just went down to the middle of the earth and just kind of talked to people and, whatever was actually stating. I can't say that didn't happen. All I know is Jesus said, the only sign I'm going to give you is the same as Jonah when he was in the belly of the big fish. He didn't say whale, it just said big fish, for 3 days. Now, I don't think Jonah was having fun in the belly. Could you imagine the smell and the fish and whatever else acid was there, probably eating his body up? Because that's what that's got to do. his body was trying to be digested. This big fish was trying to make him part of it for 3 days. That was what Jesus said. I will be in the belly of the earth for 3 days. That's the sign. Then when, like I said, we came back with this Romans 3:23 through 25. For everyone, this is, again, New Living Testament. It doesn't read that way in other ones. And this is the 1999, I think, or 96, the very first translation that they put together. The other ones changed it, and it doesn't make the same. I just like this one because it said, for everyone has sinned, all have fallen short of God's glorious standard. Now, that covers all of us. Anybody that's standing out there thinking they're doing so good and they're so great and all this stuff going on, that scripture right there will destroy it all for them. Because when they get to heaven, that it don't work that way. You can be that way on this earth. You can have people think you are and all that stuff. No, I'm far from being perfect, and I won't go on a pedestal. If I do, then I'll try to deceive you, and if I deceive you, then I will be in worse shape. I might even be in eternal wrath, and I don't want to do that because I'm accountable for every word that I say, every teaching that I teach. I'm accountable. I have to teach the truth. If not, when I stand before the Father, he's going to judge me on what I taught, what I said, what I did. Everything will be brought that way. And I say this about the foundation because it says in 24, yet God with underserved kindness declared that we are righteous. He did this through Jesus Christ, who freed us from the penalty of our sins. For God's presented Jesus in the sacrifice of sin, people are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. Now, again, this is not the actual translation. I don't know how I messed this one up. I normally go back and get the other one. Sarah has it up here on the wall. The original translation that it came up with the first time they said it, because of God's love, I'm going to paraphrase it, because of Jesus dying on the cross, he calls you not guilty. You got to get that revelation. Not guilty. Now, there's a way you need to say that, because I'll put it this way. Jesus' blood is covering you. And when you sin, he still covers you. Okay? He's going to cover you. What does that do? It makes you not guilty because your sins are washed away. Now you get into people who said, well, Jesus died on the cross and all the sins from the day it started till the end of the world, it's covered and we don't have to worry about it. So if we ask Jesus Christ in our life, we never have to ask for forgiveness. That's a teaching. And that'll take you right to hell. You have to ask. That's why we have such a great high priest. What does a high priest do in the Old Testament? Wash our sins away. They take care of the sins because they have to take the sacrifice, take the blood into the Holy of Holies and put it over the ark, and then they are atoned for a year. Today, you don't do it that way. Jesus was the final sacrifice. His blood washed everything away completely. So that's what it's all about. So what you're doing right now is if you come into this, if you look at the actual what I was saying before, and I'd have to go back and find that again, this is what it normally says here. He declares that we're righteous. Righteous, and this other said that you're not guilty. Righteous means you're not guilty. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus. If you don't have that foundation in your built, if you don't build that foundation first, guess what happens? The devil's going to come in and said, oh, you'll never, God doesn't love you. God doesn't care for you. You're not worth anything. He'll mess you up big time. When you're in the battle, that he'll come after you and he'll get you so wiped up and saying, oh man, you can't do anything right, you can't figure out anything. And if you don't have that block you can stand on, that I'm not guilty, even though, I mean, it is like a good example. Talked about it before. One day I was thinking about killing a few people. I was upset. I was mad. It never came out of my mouth, but it was in my mind. Well, in my heart, just my mind. I was fed up. I couldn't handle it. Went to church that night, and some lady has the gall to come up and ask me to pray for her. I said, God, how can you use a no-good, worthless person like me? I said, how can I pray for this person after trying to kill some people? In my mind. It's horrible. I can't do this. I became obedient. I said, Father, she asked me to pray. I'll pray. I don't know. You're going to have to do something because I don't know why. I was just in turmoil. And I prayed. And she got healed. And then she turned around and she says, did you feel the power of God? I'm thinking, no, I wanted to kill some people today. What's going on? So I had to get in before the Lord, and I said, Lord, what is happening here? I want to kill some people, and all of a sudden you have some lady come up, and we pray for him, and she gets healed, and she's saying the power of God's so good. How can this be? He says, because you're obedient. He didn't say because I was good. He didn't say because I could, you know, do all kinds of things. You're obedient. Because you're obedient, see, my blood is washed over you. Your sins are forgiven, even though you've done that, because you didn't want to do it. It wasn't in your heart. It was in your mind. And you didn't meditate on it very long. It did for a while, until I got over the anger. So, but, see, the block was working of the blood of Jesus. And then it comes down here and it says, about this, you know, when you're talking about how Jesus paid our punishment for our sin. Because, see, I still say if a man is on the cross and sin is in the man or on the man, in this case it's on the man, on Jesus, when he said, why did you forsake me? What happened? The Holy Spirit left him. He had his spirit. He was the Son of God, but he was still a man. He came as a man. To die as a man for us. So what happened was, he's on the cross, and all of a sudden all these sins are upon him. He dies, whew, right down to the pits of hell for 3 days to pay our price. I always say that because there was the guy I've said before about the love walk, and he said he's seen a vision with this skeleton form and with a gray mask in this pit with a fire coming up out of it and 6-inch worms going in and out of his soul and screaming and gashing of teeth and just help. And he's had that vision and he says, God, what is this? He says, that's my son paying your price. That's my son paying your price. Wow. That's a love of a father to allow his own son to die on the cross. Pay our price. And then it comes in that first version of the New Living Testament. It says, because of that punishment, we're not angry. He's not angry at us anymore. If you don't have that foundation down there, people will say, well, God's mad at me. No, he's not mad at you anymore because the blood of Jesus covers you. And you walk in the blood of Jesus, and you don't have to worry about it, because that's the blood covenant. That's the blood covenant. See, people don't even understand the blood covenant. He honors his covenant. He honors that blood covenant over you. And that's what this is about. Foundational. That's the very first thing. You know, the blood of Jesus, first Jesus, then the blood of Jesus, and then the punishment. Our sins are gone. It's done. It's over. It's been paid for. He says, you're not guilty, and he's not angry. If you got that sitting there, guess what happens? And you got a revelation of that understanding and why it happened, what went on, then immediately when the devil comes against you in the middle of the war and says, oh, God hates you. No, he doesn't, you foul liar. Get out of here. when he comes and says, oh, you just did this and you did that. Yes, I did, and I asked for forgiveness, so get out of here. I'm covered with the blood. I'm a blood-bought child of the living God. What are you doing in here? But see, if you don't have that foundation, you can't say that to them. You got sickness and disease coming on you and you can't get set free? It might be because you're still walking in anger, frustration, hatred, or bitterness. You're opening the door for the devil to continue undoing what you're doing. So you have to figure it out and get over it. Remove it. Realize that you're not a mistake. That he's not mad at you. You're not guilty because the blood washes away. If you ask Jesus forgiveness, you are guilty if you do something. We all fall short. But because of his blood, we can ask him as a high priest and immediately, boom, right back in to grace us with God again. And then when you take and you end up knowing that he's not angry at you, because most people walk around still feeling God's angry at them. Then you have to know this. You might not feel that, but a lot of people feel that way. You have to be able to explain it to them, help them get by. That's building that foundation. I went into the third block last week. I was going to move on, but the Lord says, go back and teach on it again. Sometimes you hear it, but you need to hear it more until finally it gets fully down into your spirit, because the warfare that we're studying right now, coming against us in this end time, you need your foundation so strong that you don't let anything, it's not going to break down when you're in the middle of the battle. You know who you are, what's going on, and what Jesus did for you, that's the full foundation. So what happened was I went to Ephesians 2:14-22. Again, I go into the New Living Testament. Reads a little different than some of the other ones. But Ephesians 2:14-22. For God himself had brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when in his own body on the cross he broke down the walls of hostility that separates us. Whew, that should be a foundation so strong inside you. And when all of a sudden you get mad or upset about somebody else, you're going to say, ha, 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 Jesus, the blood covenant just broke that hostility. If I got hostility towards somebody else, you know what? It's your flesh. You got a fit of carnality. I had a fit of carnality that day. I wanted to kill a few people. It's not Jesus. It's not walking in the spirit. It's walking in the flesh. And you have to be very careful. If the body of Christ would come into the understanding of just this, guess what would happen in the world? What would happen in the world if just the people who believe in Jesus Christ? He said he united Jews and Gentiles into one people when, in his own body, on the cross, he broke down the walls of hostility that separated us. He broke down the walls of hostility that separates us. I've never had that preached or taught about or talked about in any service I've ever been in. And if they have said it, they said it in a different way, which is fine. It could have been I just missed it. 15, he did this by ending the system of law with its commandments and regulation. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating himself one new person from the two groups. I want you to understand that. He did this by ending the system of laws with its commandments and regulations. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new people from the two groups. That is a foundational, very strong foundational that is missing in most religions. Most Christians, most people have given their life to Christ. There's some, we had a guy that came in here many years ago, and he was talking about that he was a Methodist and found out that he was a Jew, and he wanted to turn everybody into Jewish traditions. In fact, he was talking about going over to Newton and having the trumpet, having tents and all that stuff. And I says, I had to go back and do some real studying. I found some Jews, actual Jews that go to Israel every year, that they support the Jews, that they know about all the traditions, they do all that, but they're in a Christian church here in the United States, in Iowa. And I talked to him about it. I said, we're supposed to go back and do all the laws, supposed to remember all the laws, and supposed to do all this stuff. He said, no. I had to really dig in and find out exactly where this was coming from. The devil is wanting to stop exactly what Jesus did. The devil is always trying to stop what the blessing of God and what Jesus did on the cross. Right here, what did he do? He ended the system of law and commandments and regulation. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating himself one new people from two groups. One new people from two groups. If you have people getting back into the Jewish root, they always do, because it's the spirit of religion wants to bring you back into the old and do the old and keep going on the old. Talk about the old. Be involved in the old. Keep your mind on the old. You'll never get renewed. You'll lose your newness. Didn't say you will go to hell. That's not it. But you'll lose your newness. Why? Because you're creating, you're taking away from the creation that God did of the one new people and put him back into two people groups again. That's what the devil wants to do. Divide, 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 divide. If you don't have this block in there, the division will come in. Like I said before, I've heard people have believed one way all for a long time. And not just one, many. And all of a sudden, I'll get talking to them and they'll say, man, I just heard this teaching and it makes so much sense. And I'm really believing what they're saying. I says, that goes against everything that you believed for so long. What's happening? Why are you changing? The devil can cause you problems. He'll bring you into a place of division. Unless you ask the Holy Spirit what the truth is. If you don't ask the Holy Spirit, even if I'm talking about something and you're not asking the Holy Spirit to make sure it's true, we got a problem. The devil can come in and start to divide. I might say something, it didn't make sense to you. You're thinking one way, I'm thinking another, and that can cause a division. That's a big communication is a big factor on bringing division. So you have to go on and really find out how and why. What did Jesus do to make himself one new people from two groups? Together as one body, God reconciliated both groups to God by means of his death on the cross, and our hostility towards each other was put to death. I don't think so. I've heard so much of it out there. It never was put to death. God did it. Jesus did it. We don't. Why don't we? We're divided. Why are we divided? We didn't become one new people. He brought this good news of peace to you, Gentiles, so we're far away from him, that were who was far away from him, and peace to the Jews who were near. Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. Temple, a temple of the Lord is what we are. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners, You are citizens among all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Jesus Christ himself. We are carefully joined together in him because of a holy temple for the Lord. Think about that. We're a holy temple. What changed? What made the difference? The picture is this. God created Adam in his image. Now, we've talked about this a lot, but you've got to have it in your spirit and know how to explain it to others. This is so important. You have to know how to explain it to others. Even if you heard it before, you have to have the knowledge yourself by the Holy Spirit to be able to present it to somebody else. I presented this to a person a while back. It was a lady that had a lot of problems with men. And she says, I've never heard anything like this. This needs to get out. I said, where you got that down at? I says, I haven't got it down. I teach on it, but I haven't got it down. But she was all enamored by it. And that is, when Adam was created, God put Adam's spirit in him, his attributes, everything about Adam, what he's supposed to do, and also God's spirit went in him, which was his righteousness. In other words, God's nature was in an Adam. That's what he designed man to be. And then he said he created them both, male and female. So he did. He laid Adam down. It says, not good to be alone. So he took a rib, which is container or half, which was the female characteristics, took them over and created a body. I always thought, never thought much about it until I was being taught on that. Why didn't he just go make another body and bring them to Adam? He could have done that. He didn't have to have, but no, he couldn't. It wouldn't have been his image. It's all about his image. It's all about his image. This is the key factor of this verse. His image. His image. His image. I'm going to put that real strong. His image. That just came from the Lord. Hit it out strong. It's all about his image. This place is about his image. If we're not coming into his image, we got a problem. That's what it's about. That's what he did here. He made us, created himself one new people from two groups. How did he do that? He made us his image. Because, see, God is not divided. God is not divided. When he created Adam, he made male and female, both inside Adam. And he had to take the attribute of the female out, put a body around it, bring him to Adam. So when God came to visit Adam, see, a lot of people think that God came down and just visited the man, the male. No, he's seen both. Male and female were there. His image. They were called Adam. They weren't split. They were not divided. They were his image. Not divided. Not divided. Key factor, the whole thing. Not divided. Image. And then all the way through until they sinned. Adam sinned. They said, well, it's a woman that did this. Yeah, it was a woman that did that. But the man should have been strong enough to say, no, you're not going to do that. And he didn't do that. The female, or the male compared to the female. And then after the sin, they knew they blew it. Because they said, if you eat of this tree, you're dead. They didn't die. That bothered me for many years. They weren't dead. They're walking around. They're talking. They're not dead. I didn't understand. My church never told me about spiritual death. I figured that out on my own until the Holy Ghost showed me. They died spiritually. So the Spirit of God left them, went back to heaven. Now, what happened was, from that point until Jesus died on the cross, and he released the Holy Spirit back in here, it's all been division. Old Testament is nothing about division. Walking divided. Walking separated from God. With a devil between you and and God. The devil caused the two to separate. Become separated. The devil caused, deceived them in such a way so he could divide them. So he could take over their position. And that's basically what happened. The whole Testament, Old Testament is all about division. That's why he ended the system of law and his commandment and regulations. He made peace because, peace between the Jews and the Gentiles. How did he do it? By the Holy Spirit. He brought down the Holy Spirit and made us the same image he was. We are the image of Christ. We have the same image of Christ. We are now united together with Christ, with God, and by the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit comes in you. You're walking in that. The devil works to divide you, to change you, and to remove you. If you do not have that foundation in your line, right next to Cornerstone, the blood covenant, and what the blood covenant did was through the punishment, being paid for the punishment so that you're not guilty and that God's not angry at you. If you can't get that, you can't accept the law, the love of God. Everything that you do, when you go that way, you will not accept the love of God. And this is what the Bible says. The commandment that we had before, he didn't take it away, he left it here because there's people who will follow that instead of him. Now you can go down there and ask Father what I mean by that one. There's a reason he didn't take the law away, because there's many people who will follow the law. And the law still stands. If they follow the law, in the great white throne, they'll be judged by their actions. If they follow the law, then whatever the Lord says, the law says, they'll receive. If they don't follow the law, then whatever it says happens will happen. That's why he didn't take the law away. But he changed it. He fulfilled it. He put it back in the original state of no division. When the body of Christ accepts this block into that foundation and starts to stand on it, what's going to happen? If you ever remember me talking about the army, there's three different armies that they seen in that vision. The first one was everybody was working together, all had weaponry, all was prepared on how to use it. There was all different officers down to the enlisted men, you might say. And they were all doing their part. They were all resolved to finish the job. And they weren't worried. If you were walking beside a general, you didn't worry about that. When I was married my first wife, I was in the military. I was in Vietnam. And we had a chance to either have R&R, which was a week away. And there were different places. One place was Hawaii. So I went to Hawaii. I met my wife over there. On the way over, she was on the plane with a general's wife. Here I'm a specialist, a fourth class at that time, which would be the same thing as a buck sergeant. And I took and I was over there, and all of a sudden she comes up and invites me, introduces me to the general's wife, and then pretty soon the general comes up, and I'm thinking, this is not what I should be doing. Standing by this general over here, I kind of shied away because of he's a general. They don't do that in the military. In this military, in that actual, they were talking about, they were all standing together. And there was no jealousy. There was no desire. Well, I want to be this. I want to be that. I should do this. I should do that. No, there was nothing. It was all unified. And when they walked, they said it. The land was all clean, it was all repaired, and it was in perfect condition as it went by. Now, the second army wasn't quite that way, or the third was a mess. But that's what we need. when we start to unify with that type of stuff, the key factor is this in this war. The key factor is this in the war. When you find the place you're supposed to be and you accept that place and you walk in that place and you give God the glory, he's going to anoint you. He's going to prepare you. He's going to let you go. And immediately what happens is the same thing happens in Genesis 11. Genesis 11. Genesis 11 is this, and I don't have it down here, but I'm just going to paraphrase it. When God went down to see what the people of men were doing, the children of men were doing, and they were building a tower to heaven. And God went down, and he was looking at it, and he says, now there's nothing I can do to stop them. You got to get a revelation. I got a revelation when I read that one time. It's like, this is exciting. Nothing can stop them. God can't stop them. Whoa. He's God. He set everything up. But he made a plan. He made a organization. He put something out there. His will is there. His will is to do his will. His will is to be united. His will is to be one, unified by the Holy Spirit. And what he did, he looked at it and he says, I can't do anything. I'm thinking, this blew me away. I've said it before. It blew me away. Still, it doesn't blow away anymore because I understand it. But there was one thing he could do. Not with the situation they were in. He had to change their situation. And what did they do? He divided them. He divided them. Why did he divide them? He says, because they're one people and one language. Now nothing can stop them. God himself can't even stop them. So he had to change the situation. Today we're walking in that same situation. There's one people, one language, one being baptized in the Holy Ghost, filled with the Spirit and accepting Jesus into your life, speaking in tongues, speaking in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, knowing the Spirit, unified with the Father. There is nothing that can stop you except for the devil and dividing you into all kinds of situations and attitudes and viewpoints, and he will shut you down just like God had to separate those people back there. In Genesis. And it's happening daily. You get an idea, you get a viewpoint, and all of a sudden, well, I just don't believe this, and I don't like it that way, and they've done this, so I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to get involved. Blah, 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 blah. Boom! Broke your power right there. Divided you from God. Divided you from God. You can't do anything. You're so divided, you can't have any power. Doesn't matter what you think, doesn't matter what the Word of God says, it will not come to pass if you are not hooked up with God, if you're not unified with the Holy Spirit, if you're not walking in the Holy Spirit, if you're not believing in the Holy Spirit, if you aren't that one person unified with other brothers and sisters in Christ, if you're not that one person walking in the Spirit, listening to the Holy Spirit, understanding the direction that we're supposed to have from the Holy Spirit, locking ourselves up with the Lord. If we do not do that, we might get a few things here and might give a few things there because God's going to try to bless us as much as he can. But if we're so divided, the devil's winning. The devil will win. That's where it's at. That's that foundation, that the block on the foundation that most people fall apart at. Well, I like this church better than I like that church. Well, this person teacher better than that teacher. That's what was in there, Paul and Silas. Or Paul and the other guy. Anyway, he says, you know, I like this guy, I like that guy. Why? They're all doing the same work for Jesus. Let's hear what the Holy Spirit's saying through them, what they're doing, what they're going on. We won't have the division. We won't have this problem. That's what God is trying to get through in this season, and we have to walk in it very strongly. So it's the unity of the body of the Holy Spirit. When we start doing that, you'll start seeing people come out of the mountains like crazy. Because the love of God will flow through you like you've never seen before. You'll be able to do things you've never done before. Situations in your life will change just like that. That's what God wants. That's what he's going after. And 1 Corinthians 3, 10 through 17. 1 Corinthians 3, 10 through 17. Because of God's grace to me, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it, but whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful. Seen a lot of foundations being built, they're going to fall apart, and you watch them. How many times have you seen somebody build up a great ministry, and then, boom, it's gone? And all those people that have followed him have built that same foundation, so what's going to happen to them? They're going to be gone. It's a horrible situation, but it's true. For no one can lay any foundation other than one that has already been or already have been laid by Jesus Christ. Anyone who builds on that foundation must use a variety of materials, gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. But on the judgment day, fire will reveal that kind of work each builder has done, and the fire will show if a person works has any value. If the work survives, the builder will receive a reward. If the work is burnt up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved, but the person barely escapes through the fire, the wall of flames. And that's what they were saying in that prophecy. And Rick Joyner said, why am I hearing this? He says, because you will go and you will write this word for people to understand, and they will understand what you're saying because the Holy Ghost is on it. It is not him. It's not about how he ministers. It's not about anything else. It was a word from the Lord. And you can get a lot of wisdom from that. I mean, I about fell through when I started seeing some of that. And I hadn't desired to get in and listen to it for some time. Last night, the Lord said, listen to it. Now I know why. Because, man, I tell you what, there's things in there that, you know, if you take the time and read through it and ask the Father to show you what he wants you to see, there's so much in there from one end to the end, the other end. It's powerful. And on 1 Corinthians 3, 16 and 17, and I read this at night. Just turned it on my phone. I read this and about blew me away when I heard it. It says, don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God lives in you? The King James always said, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. I said, okay, I'm a temple. I'm going to walk around. Temple's in me. I can do this. I can do that. You know, God's having me take the temple to people instead of people have to come to the temple to me, because my temple, I don't have to have kill any animals. Why? Because the blood is already over me. The blood has already been shed, so that all they have to do is ask Jesus into their life. I can lead them to Christ, to the Lamb, and be able to get them set free, so that's good. I don't have to worry about that. That's taken care of. But he says, don't you realize that all you together are the temple of God and that Spirit of God lives in you? What is that saying? Right here. He did this by ending the system of law and its commandments and regulation. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating himself one people from the two groups. In other words, we are either going to be powerful in the Lord because we're one people. What are we? We are the temple of God, the temple of the Holy Spirit, because the Spirit lives in us. We're one. We're one. We're not denominationalized. In other words, we're not Baptists. We're not Methodists. We're body works. If you ever ask, somebody asks you, what are we? We're Ephesians 4 church, and it's called the Apostle, Prophet, Evangelist, Pastor, that one. Perfecting the body of Christ. We're perfecting the body. That's what we're to do. Nothing more. We're not bringing in new doctrine. We're not saying you have to do this, you have to go there, the do's and the don'ts. You know, you'll learn that as the Holy Ghost teaches you. We're giving you a relationship for the Lord Jesus Christ because you can do it. If you don't want the relationship, you don't have to have it. We're not going to force you. We give you the opportunity to learn how to get there and to see and be in the presence of God. That's what it's about. That's what we want to do. Why? Because it says in 17, God will destroy anyone who destroys this temple, for God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. We are unified with God through the Holy Spirit, and anyone that comes in and tries to to divide us as one in the Holy Spirit, God's going to destroy. That's deep. That's hard. Why? They're working for the devil. They might not even know it. There might be mercy on them because they don't know the truth. And God might give them a little mercy to get through that process. But I'll tell you what, there's a season coming. And I've heard in the last 2-3 years, one prophet was saying that God is going to pull all these big churches down and pull the people out and put them in around shepherds that have smell like sheep. He says if they don't have a shepherd there to take care of their sheep, he doesn't want sheep without shepherds. He wants sheep with shepherds. Shepherds watching over the sheep. That's his heart's desire. Bringing unity, bringing clarity, bringing understanding, bringing people to the place to where we're supposed to be. This is what it's all about. Without that block, we're divided. The devil wins. Well, we're trying to get together to help these people have a little food, and we're trying to get here to help these people get some school supplies. That's good. But we ain't going to come together and say, hey, we are one, because we got our thing here and we got your thing over there. That's division. That's exactly what the devil wants to do. We're not going to divide people. We're going to be unified with the Holy Spirit. But that also, there's a lot more to it that's very basic, but that's the basic part of that block. So I want you to understand that. Are we coming against those people? No. That's between them and God. And that's what you got to get down to. Not your problem. I'm accountable for what I'm doing here. You're accountable for being here. And if I'm not doing what you think I should do, you need to leave and find the place you need to be. I'm not coming against anybody, because the fact of the matter is the devil wants to divide. Everything he can do is to divide it, to break us, destroy us, remove us, get us out of our anointing, get us out of the what needs to be done. Well, there's a season coming where God's going to start to bring us back in strongly, and that's what this is about. Christ himself was brought peace to us. Do you feel like you're walking in peace right now? Why not? Where are we missing the peace at? We have the Spirit of peace in us. Why are we unified with the Spirit of peace? If we don't have peace, we're not unified with the Spirit of peace. There's a lot of things happening in us. But that was one thing I also read last night. It said that the more love I had, the more peaceful I become. Oops. Might tell you a key. You got more love of God, more spirit? Are you moving in the Spirit of God more? Maybe, well, I used to. Well, get back in it. Because the devil just divided you from what you had before in the past. You might have to look at it differently in what you've done in the past. You might have to do differently in what you think you need to do it. But open the Lord and ask the Lord What is it going to take to get back? What is it going to take to break the hostility down? You already did it. But how are we going to get across the people so they aren't that way? Because they are. What is the wall? Sin. Jesus came to break down the works of the devil. The works of the devil is to divide you, to divide your spouse, divide your family, divide this, everybody, you know, anybody in the body of Christ, divide them. Divide, divide, divide. And all you have, the whole war is all about division. I can bring it down to one thing. I was talking with a person, and I said that the Lord showed me that the city of Des Moines has a snake wrapped around it, around the pastors. And I was praying about it, and he said, it's because the pastors are holding back my revival fire. I said, oh my goodness. And I come to find out, it's because they're divided. What did God have to do to the people building the tower? He had to make them divided. What does the devil have to do to us? Divide us. And when the people start to see that truth, they'll change. And they'll come back in unity with one another. Because they'll be in unity with God. And when they're in unity with God, great things will start to come to pass. God did it on the cross. It's done. It's over. All we have to do is believe it. And start to walk in it and go from there. So that's the third block. I got more to go. The average Christian does not have that block in their foundation. So when they try to build on something, the division, their block is division. They don't even know it, but it's division. So everything they try to do is usually shut down because the devil will walk in and divide them. He's had a foothold. He's going to destroy them. He's going to keep coming after them. And they won't be victorious. There will be some because there's grace and mercy. God will take care of things. But this is very important. This is why the Lord said, go back and do it again. Because I said, I just did it. He said, do it again. I said, okay. It's not about me, it's about God. So I did it. So Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you. We thank you for each and every person here. We thank you for each and every heart that is hearing what you have to say. It's not me, it's what you want. It's how you want it. It's your word. I'm just clarifying a little more of your word. Only your Holy Spirit can teach and show and bring people together. And Father, I pray that we rise up an army that is so unified, so equipped with your you know, with the sword and the shield and have the armor on, that we walk out and do things and we just go into an area and all of a sudden it changes. I've always had a desire, and I've heard this in a revival many years ago, where there was a hospital. And people, during this revival, encircled the hospital and grabbed hands and started to command and pray. And by the time they got through, every single sick person in that hospital walked out. Every single sick person. You say, I can't do that. No. But if we had enough people unified enough to walk around in a hospital and grab hands, I guarantee you what, God will move on that. There's nothing that can stop us if we come into unity. We got to quit thinking about this and thinking about that. How can we work in unity? When we start working in unity, this place will be so powerful. People will be walking in and getting healed before they even get in the door. The devils will be screaming and running so far away, they won't know what's going on. That's what we want. That's what's happening. So it's all about unity. And when I was talking about that being wrapped around the pastor, I called a person that's from the prophetic end of it, and I told him what I'd seen because I needed to talk with some people to get some revelation. They said, we know that. We've seen that. And they started telling me about all these things was out there that was the problem. And then I said, no. There's only one problem, division. Those other things are what the devil uses to divide us. But it's just division. It's a misunderstanding of division, of what Jesus did on the cross. I'm telling you right now, that's the very foundation. Most people have no clue. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you. Just bless each and every one. Keep us safe. And, Father, help those who are traveling, those who are sick. Father, we ask that you just let your anointing fall upon them. Heal them and bring them through in the name of Jesus. We just give you full glory, honor, and praise. We ask that your wisdom will fall upon each person. Open doors, open wisdom, knowledge, and everything is supposed to happen. We give you full glory, honor, and praise in all things. Amen and amen.